content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the HGTV's Weekend Gardener e-newsletter, Dave's Garden website, the JCRA e-newsletter, the NC State Extension Gardener e-newsletter. And we'll start with Dave's Garden website. Using Powdered Lime in the Garden by Shannon McKee. When used correctly, powdered lime can be extremely beneficial for your garden. However, too much and too little can cause their own sets of issues. People that love crime dramas and mysteries have probably heard of using lime to dispose of bodies before, but there are actually far better ways to use the stuff in your own backyard. Garden lime, also known as agricultural lime, is made from calcium carbonate and can be a very important amendment depending on your soil's particular needs. You'll find learning about the ways and hows of using garden lime in your soil extremely beneficial, as using it properly will drastically improve the way your plants grow and perform over the growing season. There are two types of lime that you'll probably encounter. There's the garden lime created by grinding limestone down, which is the same calcium carbonate that this article focuses on. There's also dolomitic lime, created by grinding dolomite down. Dolomite is similar to limestone in that it contains the calcium useful for plants, but it also contains magnesium. Using garden lime in your soil does a few things for your garden. It puts calcium back into your soil, which is an essential nutrient for growing just about everything, and prevents things like blossom end rot from occurring. In addition, garden lime makes your soil less acidic in terms of pH. It's beneficial for your garden to be slightly acidic, but you never want it to be too acidic. Very acidic soil with a pH between 3 and 5.5 can render your plants unable to intake nutrients and can even cause their roots to burn because it allows some elements, such as aluminum, to be absorbed in higher amounts than they normally would be. You may find yourself adding fertilizer to the soil because of problems with growth and yellowing leaves, but that doesn't help. If that doesn't help, there's a good chance your soil's acidity is the issue. Be sure that you do not go overboard with your garden lime use. Plants growing in soil with a pH of 6.5 or higher can often struggle with the same issues faced by those grown in acidic soil, in that nutrients can become largely unavailable to them. Of course, some varieties, such as blueberries and azaleas, love more acidic soils, so it's a good idea to do a little research to make sure you're providing your plants with the best conditions to them. Since the balance between acidic and alkaline soil is often a delicate one, you'll always want to test your soil before working any amendments into it. There are soil test kits you can purchase that will be able to determine your soil's pH. When doing so, be sure to collect samples from a few different sections of your yard. Additionally, you'll want to get the samples from about 6 inches down. Carefully follow the directions on your soil testing kit to get an accurate result. If you're not interested in doing your own soil testing or just can't understand the instructions, you can always look into having your soil tested by a lab. Contact your local garden society or agricultural extension to learn more about where you can send your samples. You may find that your soil has the perfect pH for growing plants, but that its calcium is in short supply. While it may seem tempting, you should never apply garden lime just for the calcium, as you'll inevitably mess up your pH and wind up with more problems than you started off with. A good option for dealing with a lack of calcium is gypsum. which is sometimes also referred to as lime. This makes it essential to carefully read the labels on the amendments you're purchasing. Once you've determined garden lime is necessary for your soil, it's time to apply it. Again, pay careful attention to the instructions on the package you purchase to ensure you're applying the right amount for the size of your garden. It's okay to be overcautious during this phase because you can always go back and add more lime later. But it will be much harder to adjust the soil if you add too much lime. Keep in mind you should protect your hands and face when applying powdered lime to your garden. Remember those crime dramas and mysteries? Depending on where you live, you may have soil that just naturally needs to have garden lime added to it to achieve the right pH and calcium levels. The best time to work it into the ground is during the fall or early spring. It's helpful to do it before planting to give your soil a chance to adjust properly. This doesn't mean that you cannot add it when you need to. It's just easier to add before planting. Garden lime is a beneficial tool that all gardeners should have in their arsenal, but use caution when applying it to the soil. Knowing that too much lime can cause problems will save you a lot of heartache and subsequent attempts to rebalance your soil. Your garden will thank you when you use the right amount. And now a couple of articles from HGTV's Weekend Gardener e-newsletter. The first one is 14 Ways to Get Your Lawn Ready for Cool Weather. This is by Julie Martins Forney. Get ready as fall arrives. When fall starts bringing on colorful autumn leaves, frost cannot be far behind. Whether you garden where winter is mild or where blizzards pile up the snow, take steps in early fall to prepare your lawn for cool weather. Giving your grass some autumn TLC ensures you'll be seeing healthy green come spring. Adjust mower height. Don't scalp warm season grasses as cooler weather arrives. This includes St. Augustine, Bermuda, centipede, and zoysia grass. Raise the mower 1/2 to 1 inch during fall. This helps the grass quick green up in spring. Check with your local extension office to discover fertilizer timing for your region. Deal with weeds. Get a jump on perennial cool season weeds like dandelion and henbit by treating lawns with a pre-emergent herbicide in early fall. This trick works well in cool season lawns. Treating in fall prevents seeds that dropped onto the lawn in early summer before temps soared from sprouting. It helps reduce the number of weeds you'll see next spring. Repair bare spots. Tackle small bare spots in cool season lawns with simple seeding. New grass takes off in autumn's cooler temperatures, sinking roots and adding top growth quickly. Do not forget to water newly seeded areas of the lawn. Keep off the newly planted lawn so low roots can establish. Rake leaves. Stay on top of leaves during autumn. Do not allow leaves to accumulate and lay on your lawn for more than a few days, or you risk damaging grass blades. This is especially important for turf that's still actively growing in fall. You want leaf blades to receive as much sunlight as possible so grass can store heavy food reserves in roots. That's the secret to ensuring grass survives through winter. Stay off too wet grass. If fall rains have your soil chock full of water, stay off the lawn to avoid compacting soil. Do not rake when the lawn is too wet, or you risk pulling up grass by the roots. Mowing leaves on lawn. Forget the manual labor of raking and try mowing fallen leaves using a mulching mower, and you can let leaf pieces lie. Or attach the grass catcher to collect chopped leaves for the compost pile or mulching planting beds. Leaves mow best when they're dry. You can also rake leaves out from around shrubs onto the lawn so they're accessible for mowing. Aerate. The best time to aerate grass is just before it enters its most active growth phase. For warm season grasses, the timing is late spring, early summer. For cool season grass, it's early fall. aerate so that grass will have at least 4 weeks to recover and grow before frost arrives. If possible, spread fall fertilizer on cool season lawns shortly after aerating. It helps fuel recovery growth in the lawn. Aerating options. The best way to aerate a lawn is with core aeration, where you physically pull small plugs of soil from the lawn. Some lawn mowers have an aerator attachment, or you might rent an aerator for this task. If you go the renting route, have help handy. Maybe split the cost with a neighbor. The machine is heavy and requires strength to move and operate. For small lawns, try a manual aerator. Overseed with ryegrass. If you want to keep your soils, your lawn green through winter dormancy, overseed with annual ryegrass. Avoid using perennial ryegrass. The annual type dies out as summer heat arrives, while the perennial type keeps growing and might outcompete your desired turf grass for water and nutrients. Before overseeding, ask yourself which you cannot stand more, the sight of a dormant dawn or more months of ryegrass mowing chores. Lay sod. Fall is the cutoff for laying sod in regions with tough winters. Make sure sod is down to allow at least 4 weeks of growth before frost arrives in your area. In mild winter zones, you can lay sod all winter long. Adjust irrigation. Revisit and revise lawn irrigation schedules. This is especially important if you have an automated irrigation system and fall brings rains to your region. Once lawns are dormant for the winter, grass does not need irrigated. Where lawns stay green, lower fall and winter temperatures reduce turf's water needs. Cutting back on lawn irrigation conserves water and also saves you money. Continue to water newly seeded lawn areas or sod until grass is adequately growing. Lower the mower before snow. In coldest regions where snow piles up on the lawn, lower the mower for a final cutting before the snow starts flying. Your goal is to get grass short so it won't develop snow mold. Cut grass as short as 1 inch. Use grass croucher for this mowing to collect any debris, leaves, and weed seed pods. Before you stow the mower for winter, raise the height to a normal setting so you don't scalp grass in spring. And now, freeze-proof plants by Jessica Yonker. Coneflower. This rugged Tennessee wildflower can grow just about anywhere, and most varieties are hardy to zone 3. Cut down the stems. Add 3 to 4 inches of mulch to insulate the plants through the winter to help them bounce back beautifully next summer. Lily of the Valley. Don't let this dainty fawn's blooms fool you. Lily of the Valley is a tough plant, hardy in zones 2 to 7. It can thrive in practically any soil or climate and is a longtime favorite for shade gardens. Be aware, though, this freeze-proof plant can become borderline invasive without proper care and attention. Siberian iris. Hardy to zone 3, Siberian iris shakes off cold winters. The low-maintenance animal pest-resistant plants tolerate wet and dry soil, making them a perfect choice for a rain garden. Flowers appear in late spring and linger into early summer. American Mountain Ash. American Mountain Ash loves cool weather and moist, well-draining soil that mimics its native mountain climate. It's hardy zones 3 to 6. Coral Bells. Coming in a rainbow of hues, coral bells provide sensational color and are a favorite among shade gardeners. The plants are hardy in zones 3 to 9, and warmer climates can be grown as evergreens. Watch out! Coral bells are prone to heaving in the winter, so add 3 to 4 inches of mulch in the fall before temperatures drop. Pansies. If you're looking for a cool weather color that just won't quit, plant some pansies. The cheery blooms can survive sudden cold snaps as well as tolerate weather in the single digits for several hours. Gardeners in Zone 6 and higher can expect pansies to brighten up their landscape for the majority of the winter. Viola. Violas add cheerful winter color to hardiness zones 5 to 10. Some varieties will even keep blooming through warm weather. Primrose. Looking for perennials that bloom in late winter? While most primroses flower early spring, some species add color to the late winter garden. Sow the seeds outside from January to March, or look for potted primroses in bloom at nurseries or garden centers around that time of year. Persian Blue Catmint. This perennial has it all: deer resistance, drought tolerance, and a long flowering period from early summer to fall frost. The plants gracefully stand up to winter, showing off silver foliage through the cold months. From the Triangle Gardener magazine, 10 unique group trees for small gardens. The go-to dwarf tree these days is without a doubt the Japanese maple, but if you're looking for something a bit different and don't have a lot of space, consider one of these other specimen trees that won't outgrow your garden. And this article is by Val Engel. Little King River Birch. While most river birches will quickly outgrow a small garden, Little King keeps a dwarf habit, reaching only 8 to 10 feet tall, 9 to 12 feet wide in 10 years. Cinnamon-colored bark exfoliates to reveal pale inner bark underneath. Because river birches are tolerant of flooding, this is the perfect choice for a wet area of the garden, though it is also tolerant of drier soils as well. Fall color is yellow. Grow in full sun to part shade. Rising Sun Red Bud. One of the first bloomers of spring, lavender pink blossoms cover the branches of this stunning tree before foliage emerges. Then heart-shaped leaves burst forth a pale orange, transforming into various shades of yellow and gold, and then lime green in summer. If your specimen is kept sufficiently moist, new growth should continue to flush throughout the growing season, giving your tree a gorgeous three-tone color palette. By fall, flowers have developed into seed pods that attract a variety of songbirds, and leaves turn gold. Rising Sun grows 8 to 12 feet tall and 6 to 8 feet wide in 10 years. Grow in full sun or part shade. Yadkin Creeper Finch Tree. First discovered in a small nursery in western North Carolina, the first specimen of this dwarf fringe tree was grown at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum and is now available to the retail market. This unique tree has a spreading habit, similar to a small Japanese maple, reaching just 6 feet tall and 8 feet wide in 15 years. In spring, white, fringe-like flowers blanket the bare branches. Bark is exfoliating and ornamental in winter. Grow in sun or part shade. American Ginkgo. Perfect for a modern or Asian-themed garden, American Ginkgo reaches 6 feet tall and 6 feet wide in 10 years. Believed to be the oldest living species of tree, ginkgo dates back over 200 million years in China, Japan, and Korea. Its uniquely shaped fan-like leaves turn a stunning golden yellow in fall. Grow in full sun. Inspiration Michaelia, M-I-C-H-E-L-I-A. This small evergreen magnolia, formerly classified as a Michaelia, grows 8 to 10 feet tall and 5 feet wide. In spring, white, sweetly fragrant flowers emerge from fuzzy buds that have been providing interest all winter. Grow in sun to partial sun in acidic, moist soil. This tree is hardy from zone 7B to 9B. Mulch heavily to preserve heat during winter and plant in a protected spot. Kojo no Mai cherry, also known as Fuji cherry or contorted cherry, is the perfect flowering cherry for small spaces. Reaching just 8 feet tall and wide, it will add interest to your garden for three seasons. In spring, bare branches are covered with crimson-red buds, blossoming into pale pink flowers that fade to white. Fall color is a brilliant red-orange. The zigzag habit of branches provides architectural interest to the winter garden. Grow in full sun to well-drained, moist soil. Crimson Cascade Weeping Peach. This incredible specimen will make your garden the envy of your neighborhood. Stunning double crimson-pink blossoms cover the bare weeping branches in spring, followed by leaves that emerge in maroon before fading to summer green. Mature size maxes out at 10 to 12 feet tall and 8 feet wide. Don't plan to harvest any peaches, however. The fruit is small and of low quality, but leave it for the wildlife. Grow in full sun. Green Bullet Umbrella Pine. This eye-catching conifer is one of the more unique conifers available to the retail market. Habit is dense and well-branched, with thick, dark green and shiny needles that are arranged in a whorl, resembling an umbrella. Green Bullet is a dwarf cultivar developed in Germany, reaching only 4 feet tall and 3 feet wide in 10 years. Umbrella pines grow slow, but the wait is worth it. Grow in full sun to part shade in well-draining soil. This plant does not like wet feet. Evening Light Snowbell. Add drama to your garden with this snowbell that grows to just 10 feet tall and 5 feet wide with a compact vase-like habit. Leaves emerge dusky purple, followed by a profusion of fragrant white, bell-shaped blooms that develop into pale green drupes later in summer. Grow in full sun to part shade in moist, well-drained soil. If kept moist through summer, evening light may rebloom in fall. Peave, P-E-V-E, Minaret Bald Cypress. One of the few conifers that loses its leaves in winter, bald cypress are native to North Carolina, where it grows naturally in swamps and marshes. If you have a wet area of your yard, this is an excellent plant to address the problem without spending lots of money on drainage systems. Unlike the species, Peave Minaret reaches just 6 feet tall and 3 feet wide in 10 years. Fern-like foliage transforms to burnt orange in fall. Bark is reddish in color, adding winter interest to the garden. Now from the North Carolina State Extension Gardener. Incredible Edibles, Make Room for Muscadines by Gina Myers. The muscadine grape, originated in the southeast, thrives in our heat and defies diseases and insects that decimate their relatives. Muscadines can be dried, eaten fresh, made into desserts, or fermented into sweet wines. Most muscadines are dark-skinned, but there are bronze cultivars, some of which are called scuppernongs because they were first found along the Scuppernong River in North Carolina. You can choose a cultivar based on color, fruit color, size, sugar content, skin thickness, cold hardiness, ripening time, and whether the flowers are self-fertile or require a second vine for pollination. Supreme, female, and Nesbit, self-fertile, are the two purple varieties rated in the top five fresh-eating cultivars in North Carolina. And Summit, female, Terra, self-fertile, and Triumph, self-fertile, are the three bronze varieties in the top five. They need full sun and good drainage, but are otherwise an easy plant for every garden. For more information, visit grapes.ces.ncsu.edu/muscadine. Grape production. Sustainability: Using Mulch in the Vegetable Garden by Carl E. Lewis. Using mulch in your vegetable garden will help to conserve moisture, reduce weeds, discourage disease, and improve soil health. If your goal is organic gardening, mulch will help reduce inputs such as fertilizer and pesticides. And like landscape mulch, it may also improve the garden's appearance. Any kind of mulch can be used in the vegetable garden, but the ideal one is a weed-free hay straw. Apply in a 2 to 3 inch layer over bare soil. Avoid using landscape fabrics or plastics as they are not necessary in most home beds. Mulch can be applied before or after planting. Mulch should be applied once or twice a year and be told in as a soil amendment at the end of any season. Mulch may also help overwinter temperate vegetable plants like lettuce and kale. Snuggle up the mulch around the crowns of vegetable plants when freezing temperatures are expected. Keep in mind some additional tips. Look for weed-free mulch. Consider an organic source to prevent any carryover of herbicides into the vegetable garden. Avoid letting the mulch pile against the stems of plants, and remove established weeds prior to application. And from the JCRA e-newsletter, there are events coming up. Moonlight in the Garden at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum in Raleigh. A magical lighting exhibition with our friends from Southern Lights of Raleigh and the North Carolina Agricultural Foundation Incorporated. Thursday through Saturday, November the 7th through the 9th. Thursday through Saturday, November the 14th through the 16th. 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Two timed openings. Tickets. Tickets will sell out in advance, so be sure to get yours early. And there are limited tickets available. And J.C. Ralston Arboretum is located at 4415 Beryl Road in Raleigh. For more information, you can call 919-515-3132. 919-515-3132. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until the next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. You've been listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service.